one example is a abandoned missile silo that I was looking for, and it took a long time to figure out where that was. Like, the information was not widely available. I ended up stalking somebody on Instagram and randomly sending them a message and hoping they replied, and then they DM'd me back and they sent me the coordinates. Then I had to talk my friends into going. So there's this whole story. And I think so often we wait for it to work. And then we're like, okay, now I'm going to make a video. Like, well, I'm not sure if I can find this spot. If I find the spot, then I'll make a video about, you know, experiencing it. Well, the video should have started like 3 weeks ago. And yeah, maybe it won't pan out, but you might still have a story even if it doesn't pan out. And if it does pan out, you have a 10 times better story because you told all of these things leading up to it. You built that suspense and made people want it too. Like, how much more excited are you going to be when you get to that location after you tried so long versus just like, oh, here's this cool place.
I love
such a difference. The story starts before you think the story starts. Welcome back to the Creator Pals podcast. Today I'm going to be giving Nathan some questionable YouTube video ideas, and he is going to try to prove his theory that there are no bad video ideas. So tell me a bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been on YouTube and around YouTube for quite a few years now, probably 5+ years. And over those many years, I have been in a lot of video planning sessions, a lot of sessions where ideas will get brought up. You know, brainstorming, bringing them through the whole process of ideation, doing some research for the ideas, and a lot of ideas get thrown out. And I've always been a little frustrated by that process. I'm not like throwing chairs or anything, but it's just like, oh, man, we like spent so much time trying to figure this, you know, working through these whatever ideas, and we just threw them out. And I honestly think that maybe in their form that we brought them to, where we decided to throw them out, maybe that wasn't the exact right idea, or maybe that wasn't the perfect formula for the video specifically that we were trying to make, or maybe, you know, maybe it didn't match our interests or our style or whatever. But I don't think that makes it a bad idea. I think a lot of times as creators, we talk about good ideas and bad ideas. Oh, that's a terrible idea. That'd be a terrible video. I really question that premise. I really do. And so I'm very interested to see what you have to throw at me today, because I don't know if every idea in its first original form is a good idea.
Sure.
But I think that anything could be crafted. I think it's all about the marketing of the idea. It's all about imagining something that would make it interesting and entertaining or helpful or informational. And I think most things can be turned into that. So that's my theory.
I almost think it's the opposite of how we usually take it. Most people think like that most video ideas are bad and that maybe 20% of them are good. But I would say maybe 80% of them are good enough or could be good enough, you know, but they need some massaging, and 20% maybe just never would get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe all of them could get there. But it's almost like maybe hardly any video ideas are good from the start without massaging. Like, too often we're waiting for a good or bad idea. And that's why it takes us so long to get to a good idea, because we keep thinking, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. When really any of those could have been it if they had had some massaging, but there's almost no good ideas before you do the massaging.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the massaging is one important piece. I will give a caveat here.
Yeah.
When we throw out an idea, I think maybe a lot of times it's because of resources. Maybe it's time, maybe it's money, you know, maybe it's skill level or something like that. And I think a lot of video ideas are categorized as bad because we don't have the skill or the time or the money or whatever to make those ideas happen in the way that would make them be good. And so there are some factors that do limit an idea, whether or not you should choose to do it or not. I just hate the premise of good idea versus bad idea. And so that's kind of what we want to test today, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, let's get started. So I'm going to pretend I have a cooking channel.
Okay.
And I'm going to make some curry.
Oh, I love curry.
Good idea already.
Good idea. Make the video.
Okay.
So just curry.
Yeah.
Curry making video.
Curry.
Okay. Well, I guess right out of the gate, there's probably about 50,000 of those videos. You know, curry is a very common dish in lots of parts of the world, and probably everybody and their grandma has that recipe that they've just made a video about. And so I would say the number one thing that I would do is, okay, well, let's make a video about curry. If that's something like maybe you really like curry like I do, or maybe you like cooking and this is something you never cooked before, you want to try new spices, you could add some sort of premise to the video. Like you need an angle. Okay. And so maybe the angle could be, this is my first time making curry, or, and that's not like super exciting, but like that's a step in the right direction, right? There's a little bit of marketing there. Like I've never done this before type thing. Another thing that you could do is find someone who has been making curry for 80 years. Maybe you find an old Thai grandma or an Indian grandma who's literally like, it's in their blood, you know? And you could do like a versus video, and you could do like, this is my first time, or like total beginner versus someone who has been doing this their entire life. That would make a pretty interesting video. Another thing that you could do is go and experiment. You know, maybe you're making an Americanized version of Thai curry, or maybe you're doing like Thai curry tacos, or, you know, like making sort of some food fusion. I think any of those ideas would make it a way better video than I'm making Thai curry.
Nice. These are off the cuff, by the way. Didn't tell Nathan what I was going to throw at him. So I'm impressed with your quick ability to think of good video ideas. Okay. Let's see. I am a car enthusiast and I just got a new Supra.
Oh.
I wish. And I kind of want to show it off. It could be more in depth. I don't really want to do like a maintenance tutorial. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what direction to go with it, but I know I want to put it in a video.
Okay. So car channel, yeah. Probably. Okay. I actually saw, maybe I'll just take a little detour here. I just saw a channel yesterday who I've just been kind of sort of following. And I looked back into some of their old videos when they had like 1,000 subs and they did a car giveaway on their channel. And I was really curious about that. They had like a lineup of 5 cars and the thumbnail was, I'm going to give one of these cars away.
Wow.
And I was thinking, well, why in the world would they do that? Like, clearly their channel isn't like anything big, but my guess is that they were hoping that the whole concept of the car giveaway would drive some sort of traffic to their videos. And sure enough, it did. Like, if you look at all their old videos, it's like 80 views, 50 views, 100 views. And then this one, it was like 15 or 20,000 views on this giveaway video, where it was like, basically you could win this car if you watch the video. So that's probably not what you'd want to do in this case if you just got your brand new car. But I do think that's interesting. Like a car, like, you know, a Supra, a brand new car. That's a car that maybe not a lot of people are going to have. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a niche-ish type of car. I know that there's a lot of people who would argue whether or not they like, you know, what I believe Toyota is doing with the Supras, or old versus new. So maybe you could take that direction. Maybe you could take like a very old model, sort of classic style,
yeah,
and do like my new Supra versus this 10 or 20 year old, and then do like almost like a spec test to see like, okay, these are the features, the really cool features that my new Supra has. And then here are the features that this old 20 year old Supra has. And we're going to match them up to see how they compare. Did it really get that much better over 20 years? Or is it something that really, the new one's not any better than the old one? And honestly, the old one has like that kind of cool historic effect, kind of like classic.
Right.
And so the new one is, you know, maybe you'd find that out in the course of the video. So maybe,
and there's ways to do that. I've seen car videos where, I mean, they have a decent following, but people will let them borrow their cars to do these reviews and these comparisons and things. And they don't have to own every car that they're making a video about. So
yeah, always ways. Yeah, there is always ways. And I think for that one, like comparing your car to an old car, it's like someone is more likely to have the old car probably. Mm-hmm. And I think every city or town probably does a car show. And it's like you could find those types of people. You could connect with the types of people who could get you in a circle. Maybe it's not someone who has the exact car that you need, but maybe it's someone who knows a person. I think that that's one way. I think that something else that I've seen a lot of people doing like recently was just another car idea, electric versus like the gas car. And I don't think there's an electric version of the Supra or even an equivalent, but I know that there are more electric, like sportier cars. So you could do like, is the 2024 Toyota Supra better than X, you know, and just kind of like make some random comparison. Then like, let's say you did it up against Tesla Model 3. All these people who are interested in Tesla Model 3, they might say, oh, the Tesla Model 3 is now up against this, you know, sports car. I wonder how it performs. So then maybe you get all these people who are interested in Teslas potentially watching your Supra video.
You almost create an assumption there, I think, without even saying anything. You don't have to say these are comparable. But as soon as you decide to compare them, people will, that strikes that curiosity. Right. Oh, are they more similar than I thought they are?
Right.
That's awesome. We're going to have to do a lot of pretending here.
Okay.
Pretend that I am obsessed with fitness. It's the only thing that brings me joy, but the niche is so oversaturated.
Mm-hmm. This one's tough. It is very oversaturated. And I also know very little about fitness. So this is a very good one. Very, very difficult. Actually, any fitness idea is a bad idea.
Hmm.
Just kidding. I'm not going to say that. Okay. So if you're, brand new, probably newer channel, there are a lot of people in the fitness space. I think the kind of go-to for a lot of people, which seems to work sometimes, is like your own personal transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that I've seen a lot of people do. It's kind of overdone, but at the same time, people really connect with that type of thing. The only problem with that is that people connect better with that if you've already undergone your transformation. A lot of people want to jump in and start off without having transformed.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times you're going to get a lot better result if you can say, over the past 2 years or whatever, I've gone through this transformation. Here's what I look like before. Here's what I look like now. I can be someone you could look up to in the fitness space, right?
Yeah.
You get some authority by having worked through some of those things. So probably what I would do in this one, and again, this is not like a new, totally new concept, but I would do probably some sort of challenge. We have a video coming up pretty soon talking about daily challenges. And so I would probably do something with that. I would probably try, I don't know if it's like a specific workout, like doing push-ups or pull-ups or sit-ups, but you could just try getting into the fitness space in general by just becoming the best at one thing. I just came across a lady on YouTube and she's like the planking master. And she just broke a world record for like a 4.5 hour plank. And she's like in her 50s or 60s. And like she just realized a couple of years ago that she could plank for an incredible length of time. And she's kind of gained some popularity because that's her thing. And she's just very fit. And, you know, she does hiking and, you know, biking and all those other things. But she kind of, her claim to fame is the planking. So if you could have something like that, that would be pretty cool. I would say fitness is very oversaturated. Probably just have to be really careful. So just a very general fitness idea. If it was like a specific video about biking, I would say maybe go take a really cool bike trip. You know, maybe I'm going to go on the most difficult mountain biking trail in Idaho as a total beginner or something like that. But like adding some sort of stakes or, you know, parameters to it.
Yeah. While you were talking, I had an idea. Okay. I know this is not reversing the rules a little bit, but I watched Princess Bride last night. That movie, for any of you that haven't seen it, first of all, stop the podcast and go watch that and then come back. Second of all, they repeat themselves a lot. There's a lot of catchphrases in that get repeated a lot. And so a lot of people play drinking games to it,
mm-hmm.
which is a choice. I think a fitness game would be better.
Oh.
And so like every time they say inconceivable, you can do planks. Every time they say, my name is Negan Montoya, you mm-hmm. do push-ups, 10 push-ups, however. So what if you had a fitness channel where you like, you watched a bunch of movies and you figured out the best like quotable thing. So then you made the lists and maybe you could kind of cut together. You'd have to be really careful to not show too much of the movies,
right.
But maybe you could show yourself like getting tired or sitting around because there ended up being less than you thought or having to add new things. Or I wonder if you could make a channel out of that.
Yeah, I think you totally could. But that to me, that's like almost starting your own genre,
yeah.
which is pretty cool because maybe it is you watch a specific, is it Disney movies? Is it like classic, you know, like comedy kind of rom-com videos? Like, is it, you could like kind of craft your own niche into doing like challenges around specific types of movies or videos. Or, you could even do it to YouTube videos. Like maybe a specific YouTuber says a phrase like that.
Would be kind of funny
if your audience, you know, happened to be on social media a lot. Anyway, I'd love that idea. So many ways to go with that.
Yeah. A little outside the box, but I don't know. And there's no guarantee that this stuff will work, but you can pivot. It's like a very big thing. I was reading the YouTube formula by Daryl Eves. And in the beginning of the book, he talks about how like YouTube themselves pivoted. And I've always known that, but I never really thought about how like sort of serendipitous that is. Their original plan was for it to be a dating site and they didn't hold on to that. And it's probably a good thing that they didn't hold on to that. Yeah. Anyways, it might take some pivoting, even if you think your original idea is original.
Right.
Okay. Let's do a few more. How about a travel channel, but I don't have a lot of money, so I'm going to try to do kind of like local things.
Okay.
How do I make it interesting?
Okay. Local travel-ish kind of channel.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm hoping to build up so yeah, I can eventually go travel.
I imagine this, if I was going to do a travel channel, this is the type I would do.
traveling
not,
from
not
my
too couch. Much extra money. I don't really like going places, but but okay, let's think. Okay, I guess number one is I would just think, is there anything unique or semi-unique about the area that I'm in that I could potentially go do or see? You know, around here, we have some different caves that are from old lava tunnels of volcanoes. Like, that's a little bit cool.
Yeah.
Could the thing be that people are interested in, that could be the location? Because I think, like, for someone who's just starting a channel, especially in, like, a travel space, anything that has to do, you know, with the is very oversaturated, people don't care about you yet.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a big problem with small channels is that when you start doing something, you kind of have to do cool things because the people who would watch or maybe would click, they will care about the thing before they care about you. And then if you do a good job of keeping them on the video and then retaining them across multiple videos, then eventually they may care about you. And so I would say number one is like, what are you involving yourself in that could potentially make people interested? Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's the places, you know, maybe it's I explored this, you know, XYZ or whatever around, or I found this 150-year-old bakery. I don't know, like you could kind of create stories. I almost like the very, like a very cool storytelling aspect of finding very unique things or perspectives for as like a specific video idea. So like, you know, we live in the Boise area. We have very rich Basque culture here in Boise. There's like a Basque center in downtown Boise. Could I go and, you know, create some sort of story, very cool thing about one of the old restaurants that's like family owned over the last three or four generations. Like that could appeal to people without them caring about me. And so I would say any idea that you have to start off, just make sure that there's that sort of outside appeal. Maybe it's outside of Boise here. We have an Airbnb that is a large potato. It's literally a potato Airbnb. Could I go stay in the potato Airbnb and like rate my experience there? Because it's a very unique sort of weird up in Northern Idaho. There's one that's a huge dog that you can stay in.
What if you stayed in the potato and you ate nothing but potatoes or french fries for a week?
Yeah. Things like that. I think people would like. I mean, I've seen, it's funny, Ryan Trahan, big YouTuber, he came in and stayed in the potato.
Oh, like, funny.
Like people do it. There's kind of a couple videos out there. So like it's kind of an already done thing. So maybe it's not the perfect idea, but I love like adding that extra element, like only eating potatoes or doing it like sort of making it extra kind of weird or quirky or fun.
Yeah.
It just adds this element of some sort of amount of steaks or something like that.
Yeah. I think adding story too, like I visited places before and I've known about certain locations and, but didn't know where they were. Like one example is a abandoned missile silo that I was looking for. And it took a long time to figure out where that was. Like the information was not widely available. I ended up like stalking somebody on Instagram and randomly sending them a message and hoping they replied. And then they DM'd me back and they sent me the coordinates. And like, then I had to talk my friends into going. So this whole story. And I think so often we wait for it to work. And then we're like, okay, now I'm going to make a video. Like, well, I'm not sure if I can find this spot. If I find the spot, then I'll make a video about, you know, experiencing it. Well, the video should have started like 3 weeks ago. And yeah, maybe it won't pan out, but you might still have a story even if it doesn't pan out. And if it does pan out, you have a 10 times better story because you told all of these things leading up to it. You built that suspense and made people like want it too. As bad.
Yeah.
Like how much more excited are you going to be when you get to that location after you tried so long and it makes it feel way more exclusive and like special versus just like, oh, here's this cool place.
I love
such a difference. Yeah. I don't know. I've,
huge difference.
We've talked about that a lot before with videos of like the story starts before you think the story starts.
Yeah.
So I back
think that,
up a little
that
bit.
Does make a totally big difference. And I think that by doing it that way, I earlier said in the podcast that a lot of it has to do with the marketing of the video. It's like how good of a story is, you know, captured within the video so that in my title and thumbnail, I actually have something interesting to share. If that was a video about this missile silo, maybe it's like, I almost didn't make it or something like that. Because like, and you could in the thumbnail be referencing that you didn't have the coordinates, but then people might even think like, wait a second, you went to a missile silo and you almost didn't make it. Like all of a sudden that brings some real intrigue and like, it's true. You almost didn't make it. Like, I don't know. Like that's a, just very one very unique way to come at it, but
yeah,
it just gives you more opportunities for better marketing for the video.
Yeah, that's very interesting. definitely, yeah, taking those opportunities and noticing the exciting parts and, like, yeah, highlighting the exciting parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy stuff happens, and make sure you highlight that instead of just like whatever you originally planned for the video of showing how cool it looks. Like, you got to include those things that you didn't expect. So, cool. Okay, let's do a couple more. A reading channel. I like to read, maybe mostly, let's say mostly mystery books.
Okay. Literally before the podcast, just told you I have not read a book in a long time. So this one is tough. I have read books. I did go to college. I'm smart. But okay. I would say for this one, I guess it depends on what kind of audience. So I'm going to ask you a follow-up question about your hypothetical channel here. Is this a like book review style channel? Is this, you said it's mystery books. So yeah, what type of video would you say you're normally making on this channel hypothetically? Is it more like I'm giving you my thoughts on the book? Is it like book club feel? What kind
it's
of vibe?
It's
kind of
book club feel. Okay. Yeah, it's like maybe analyzing a bit of, not just a review of like, it was good, it was bad, but kind of maybe analyzing like the hidden meaning or how it compares to other mystery books or what was unique about it. Or it seems sort of reviewish, but maybe the more intriguing questions that you would have in something like a book club than just a like, this is how I rank it on excitement and whatever.
Okay. The formula that kind of just immediately comes to my mind is taking almost a very analytical approach to a very creative thing. So when you're reading a book and you're doing book club, you know, you're maybe discussing the theme or the setting or whatever, and everyone might have their own thoughts or opinions on why the author chose to, you know, set it in a certain time period or location, or, you know, have different characters. So what if you took all of that, you know, the conversation that you might have in a book club type setting, you could either have a physical book club that you actually read the book with and then discuss these things and take people's opinions and then bring it to the channel. But maybe even a step further would be to like almost do like research. So take a lot of the very typical book club type questions and then go on to forums and just find the nerdiest, most deeply interested people in this literature.
Yeah.
And then figure out what they thought and then present your findings on the channel. So it could be like, you know, 33% of people thought that it was this, and 40% of people thought that this was the reason they did that.
I
feel like that could really appeal to someone who was like super into that one book, because people get, I mean, although I don't read very often, I know people are like, if you start debating about certain things in books, people go crazy.
Yeah.
And so if you could say, like, almost draw like solid conclusions and say, you know, 60% of people thought it was this, it must be that, like, you know, the majority has spoken, I think that would really, that would make some for some great conversation in the comments. And if you did that live, I think the chat would go crazy because you'd be making these conclusions and people would totally disagree.
Cool. That's amazing. I like that. Cool. All right. So what are some principles here? How are you doing this is the question I have. Are you just trying to think outside the box? Are you trying to think of how to like combine one thing with another?
I think kind of all of that.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, the whole analytical thing in the YouTube space, like, you know, on channel makers, on that YouTube channel, we do a lot of analytical thinking.
Yeah.
For a book review, you may not initially think that that would be a good idea, but it's a different angle. It's something that maybe some other people are doing, but maybe not. And so I think thinking outside of your own niche is really important. I saw a video the other day. It was world's most dangerous single track dirt bike trail in North America. I've never been dirt biking in my life. For some reason, I watched the video.
Weird.
And it's just like, why? I think it was like a really good thumbnail. It was a really good title. It was intriguing. And it was like, this person said it was their first time ever doing it. It was just like the perfect combination for me to go click the video. I have no interest in that topic, but they did such a good job at just framing it the right way. And then it makes me think, well, how could I apply that to a video about YouTube?
Yeah.
You know, like what types of things would appeal to people the same way that that dirt bike topic appealed to me? And so looking outside of your niche, I think is a huge one. Anytime you have an idea, a lot of times, and this is kind of maybe a little cliche, but we oftentimes limit ourselves by saying, I have this idea. It's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Or this isn't going to work because like we like make excuses for our ideas before we even present them or give ourselves enough time to think about them.
Yeah.
And so if we did a better job at saying, this is what the video could be if it was like in its perfect, most amazing form, and then pulling back and saying, okay, well, what can we actually accomplish? I like that way better than just saying, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. It's like, no, let yourself think outside of the box to the point where it's like, you know what? I would need a $5 million budget to do this video. I don't have that. So
what's another version?
What's another version? Is it the cheapest way of doing this? Is it the fastest? Is it the slowest? Is it the funniest? Like any way that you can frame it just a little bit different that is within your means, I think is awesome.
Yeah. And I think you're going to land on such a better idea that way. If you're thinking, how can I make this thing that I want to make work? Because I'm betting most people are doing the opposite. Most people are like, this is a bad idea. I'll brainstorm for 30 minutes. Nope. Don't like any of the ideas. Mm-hmm. Or okay, I'll do this one because I've seen some other people do it. Like you're not going to get a creative idea with your first thought probably.
Right.
So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I'd say one other thing that like when we ideate, we oftentimes come up with a list of ideas and we say, we really like this one. This one seems to work well with, you know, there's the timing element or the amount of research that it takes or whatever. And then some ideas just kind of fall off because they don't fit the criteria that we need on the channel.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of those. I think that having a bank of ideas indefinitely is probably a good, is smart because just because it doesn't work now doesn't mean in 12 months it wouldn't work or 2 years it wouldn't work. I don't think ever getting rid of an idea is great. It's interesting because one of the ways we would ideate for channel makers for a while was each person on the team would bring like 3 ideas and you would just come up with a video topic and idea and, you know, you'd kind of map it out a little bit and then present it.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to see that, you know, like let's say you, Julia, brought an idea. If I ended up carrying out that idea, the way that I thought to carry it out might have been different than the way you initially planned it. Mm-hmm. And for you, you might feel like, oh man, he's not carrying it out the way that I thought it should be. But for me, the way that I understood your idea was just maybe a little bit different than the way you meant for it to be understood. Does that mean that your way was better or my way was better? I don't think so. Maybe we could come to an agreement and say, well, you know, we want to position it this way for the audience and maybe that's the best way. But as far as whose idea is better, they're just different. They're just different ideas or different ways to present it. And so I think that just because maybe one idea doesn't seem to be the right way to present it, it doesn't mean it's the bad idea.
Yeah.
It just means it maybe needs to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah. And packaged so that your audience understands enough of it
right.
to click. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think this went pretty well. I think you proved your point.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Let us know how you're like working on making your ideas more unique or what your ideation process is like. Do you just come up with 100 ideas and then pick the best 2? If so, that's also interesting. Not saying that's wrong. Just really curious how you go about it and what strategies you use to come up with good ideas and when you throw out ideas too. Thank you for watching and we will talk to you next time.
See you guys.